soon. But you can see that in the announcements. Coffee, I know there's an announcement there about not only donating coffee, I believe, but also they're in need of people to help serve coffee. I think the schedule's a little bare from this point out. So if you are able to help bring some treats on a Sunday morning, I know that'd be a great way to do it. You don't need to, I know we have some wonderful bakers, but you can also just rely on the other wonderful bakers that sell their baked goods and have them provide the treats, and you just provide the hospitality. So so please don't feel stressed out about that. And there's always folks around if you don't know how to use the coffee maker, folks that are willing to help out with that as well. Let's see. Oh, and today also it looks like there's a table talk about recycling in the fellowship hall. I see that on the schedule. So keep that in mind if anyone's curious about to learn more about some of the recycling that we've been doing here at church. Are there any other announcements we have to share at this point in time? I know we're going to include in our prayers this morning not only George, who's still trying to figure out what's going on with his hand, but also Jerry, who I know is waiting, Jerry Becker, who's waiting some more news about a diagnosis there, too, and has got another little challenge, you know, health-wise. So, and of course, some of our other folks we pray for. But, anything else we want to keep in mind for this morning? All right. Well, then let us begin with our opening hymn 574, Here I Am, Lord. Oh, never mind. Hey, oh, you did stop it. Good, okay. One more thing. I think both myself and Mary, I believe, are not going to be in the office as much this week. I know my family's coming to visit. I think Mary's taking some vacation time. So if you're wondering why the office seems so quiet, that's part of the reason why. Good. Quick draw back there. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Sorry about that extra verse. I don't know why they threw that in there. All right. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our main reading this morning and our second in our series on Ruth is from the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, behind someone in whose sight I may find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to his reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate, her face to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles, and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over after she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "This man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay close by my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, otherwise you might be bothered in another field." So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel. Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we continue reading through the book of Ruth this week, we find ourselves in a happier place than last. But it is important to remember that this is a turning point, and so we have to remember that it does start in a place of grief, of sadness. Ruth poured out her heart for Naomi last week. She gave this impassioned promise of faithfulness, a reflection of God's own chesed. Remember that good old guttural word of God's loyal love that we even have again today in our reading. But Naomi isn't ready for it quite yet. Ruth speaks these words of love, but when Naomi and Ruth get to Bethlehem and the other women are wondering what has gone on in her life, what has happened, and Naomi shares the loss of husband, the loss of her two sons, the husbands of Ruth and her other daughter-in-law, she asks them not to call her Naomi, right? You know, so often names are important in the Bible, and changing names is often very significant. And so Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi," which is thought to mean something like good or pleasant, but instead call her Mara, which means bitterness, because the Lord has dealt harshly with her. At least that is how Naomi is certainly feeling at this point in time. And we mentioned, at least briefly last week, that this makes this story feel more real, because we know in our own lives, when we have gone through some great struggle, when we've suffered loss, when we are in a place of grief and sadness, we don't just turn at the flick of a switch, even when someone is pouring out their love and concern for us. We fall into a pit of despair and will not be moved. We feel alone, even though, of course, in a logical sense, we know that if there's one thing that is common amongst the human experience, it is loss. It is sadness. It is grief. It is something so many of us go through, and yet we still feel so alone. We even reject any outright attempts to cheer us up. Words of happiness feel hollow. Naomi has heard other people profess their love before. Her husband, her sons, they probably poured out their love for her once too. And now they are gone. It might sting Ruth a little to hear Naomi continue to lament that the Lord has dealt harshly with her,
when she has just promised to do this incredible thing for her, to stick with her until death, to go with her. And yet she perhaps understands better than anyone what Naomi is going through. It made me think this week of one of those treasured cultural institutions of hers, the breakup song, right? We don't, when we have suffered some, usually not so significant a loss as Naomi has suffered, but if we suffer some break in a relationship, if we're going through some tough period in our lives, right, we don't listen necessarily to the happy music that'll cheer us up, songs that, there's more love in the world, or, we listen to the John Denver songs, right, about sunshine and mountains and all that like that. We listen to the depressing songs. We listen to the heartbreak songs. You get out the country western music, probably, or the ballads. You don't want to be cheered up because it just doesn't seem truthful to how you're feeling, right? You need something that people know what you're going through. And so we listen to those sad songs, those breakup songs. I remember hearing once on the radio a little program or a little segment that talked about the power of breakup songs, and the person who was sort of telling the story had just been through a breakup herself. And so she cites a couple of good breakup songs. No country and western ones, or at least not too many, but, there's that old classic, love hurts, love scars, love wounds, and Mars, right? It's an old, I think it was originally an Everly Brothers song, but perhaps it is best known as from the band Nazareth, yeah? Back in the 70s. Or there's that other good classic, in my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. Can't stop now, traveled so far, change this lonely life. I want to know when love is. Thank you, yeah. All right, that's the good old Foreigner song. That's all I'm going to sing, trust me. Yeah. But there's the Bonnie Raitt, or they cite Dusty Springfield, more obscure choice by a band called the Magnetic Fields, which they have some really fun and quirky songs on the ups and downs of love. But of course, they focus the woman telling the story focuses in on Phil Collins, right? Phil Collins has made a good career out of some good heartbreak songs, and she actually manages to get Phil Collins on the phone. And it's a great little conversation they have because Phil is, really open. You understand that Phil writes heartbreak songs because he knows what it's all about. He's been there before. And so they have this really great moment. They kind of share some of their stories and their life. And one of the things that they share and they kind of realize together is that one of the things that often makes a good breakup song is just to really make it, the more pathetic, the better, right? The more desperate you sort of sound, often, feels comforting in a way. It's sort of almost like a way of emotionally venting. And I was talking with a couple people this week at church about how in our modern day society with the internet, we have to be really careful when we vent, right? If you go vent on Facebook or, other form of social media, you might think you're just venting to your friends, but if you're not careful, you end up venting to, thousands of people, millions of people. And the thing about venting is that it's not the whole truth, is it? Usually it's not. It's kind of the truth, but it's like truth surrounded by a lot of garbage and a lot of just stuff that we know isn't true, but we need to sort of get it out of our system. And I think that's kind of what a good breakup song is like too, right? We don't really want to be that pathetic and desperate and degrade ourselves just to show someone how much they love us. We know that's not a healthy thing, but we do sort of feel that way, and we need to just get it out in the open, get it out in the fresh air, and to just help us realize just how silly, we might be feeling. Not that we don't come by our heartbreak honestly, but, we just need to sort of just, get it out of our system until we can begin to start healing again. And you kind of wonder if they had in ancient Israel, right, some version of the breakup songs. Maybe the genre hasn't been invented yet. Maybe Phil Collins' great-great-great-great-grandfather wasn't writing, heartbreak songs in ancient Hebrew. Or maybe just Naomi just isn't quite ready yet. Maybe that's not Maybe her loss is just too great to be turned around even by a really good song. But we do see something amazing happen in this story. We do see how love plants a seed, and we do see how, you know, that old, what's that old cliche, right? God works in mysterious ways. We don't see God in a burning bush in the story. We don't see God in a whirlwind. There's no dove descending from heaven. But we see this amazing sort of circuitous path, this route that love takes to sort of restore Naomi to a better frame of mind. You know, Naomi sends Ruth out into the field, right? This is a time of famine. This is a time when they need to, you know, these are two women alone in this world. Or at least they certainly feel alone. And she sends her out to gather grain, right? All this gleaning. We don't often use that word in our life today, but this is part of the old concepts from Leviticus, right? Which often gets deservedly kind of a strained reputation at times, but it's this idea kind of a sister to sort of Sabbath keeping, right? In the same way that we can set aside one day out of our week to trust that God will still provide enough for us, there's this sort of extension that we are to show justice to our neighbors, to show kindness to our neighbors by not picking up every grain of wheat or of barley that falls on the ground, that we don't always have to plow to the very, or to harvest to the very edges of the field, so that there are people who, for the widows and for the needy and for the strangers in our land, that they can have some portion of what we have produced, that we can show some kindness to others in this way. And so Naomi sends Ruth out into the field to gather these little grains of wheat. And of course, Ruth goes out in love. She goes out in love to do this act. And there she meets Boaz. And Boaz is an honorable man. Boaz is a compassionate man. Boaz is a faithful man. A faithful man moved by God's love, who has learned the lessons of the law. And in the same way that Ruth has gone above and beyond in following the letter of the law of the Old Testament, right? Honor your father and mother. This isn't her mother by blood. This is her mother-in-law. But she goes above and beyond in her love for Naomi. So too does Boaz go above and beyond this idea that that people should just pick up the fallen grain, right? He's helping her make sure that she gets fed, that she gets water, that, you know, that the men pluck some sheaves and kind of just sort of scatter them in her path, right? These aren't just things that have fallen. They're things that he tells them to give to her almost directly. He shows love to someone that he doesn't even know, a stranger, a foreigner in her land, because he is moved by her love for Naomi. Even though Naomi herself has yet to be fully moved, to fully take in this love, Boaz is moved by her love for someone else. And that's an incredible story, I think, sometimes that we may see in our own lives too, that when we're not necessarily feeling that love, others too may be moved, and it does work its way around to us. I mean, this is the power of love, that it does all sorts of amazing things, that it gives birth to all kinds of amazing things that we might not even have expected. You know, and I think this is also why our work as a church is so important, right? That you know, we gather together as a community. And, you know, finally, Naomi's heart is able to be warmed. She's able to respond in gratitude and thankfulness. We see how she's finally willing, like Job at the end of his story, after he suffered this loss, to sort of begin to rebuild her life, to be able to risk loving people again, right? To know that, you know, to face that challenge that, you know, that she may lose love again, that she may face loss again, but that she's willing to try again and to trust that God will watch out for her. And we as a church, right, we come together to try to watch out for one another so that when we are in these dark places that others can work in our lives. And hopefully when we are refreshed and renewed, then we can work in others' lives. And that too, that, you know, we recognize in this story that sometimes, you know, love does demand us to kind of get a little sweaty and dirty and to get sore backs and sore feet. You know, it isn't just Boaz that's generous in this story, right? Ruth is out there morning to night. You know, Boaz is kind of maybe throwing some grain in her way, but she gathers, there's that kind of funny word, ephah. It's like an ancient Hebrew form of measurement, but it's essentially about 30 pounds of grain. And when you're picking it one kernel of grain at a time, 30 pounds is a lot. That's a lot of grain to pick up. I mean, you know, they didn't get nice big sacks of corn like those 72 dozen ears of corn last week. That'd be like if you picked up one corn kernel at a time and had to gather 30 pounds of one of that bag. It's going to take you all day. It's going to be a lot of work. And so Ruth definitely shows a great generosity as well, and a lot of love that's lived out through a lot of sweat and sore backs and sore feet. And so I think, you know, this is our lesson and our challenge, that when others are in these dark places, when we can't necessarily break them out of their funk with a song, with a good heartbreak song, that sometimes we just need to let love kind of work. You know, we don't always force it. We just sort of let it work its mysterious ways. We let our resiliency kind of be transferred to another, almost like by osmosis in a way, so that people can learn to love again, so people can risk having their heart broken again, so that they can pick up the pieces and build a new life again, to help people realize that they are not alone, that God does not leave us alone, that love may hurt, that love may scar, right? Love may wound, love may mar, but we can face this love again together. Amen.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Loving God, We pray for all those who gather to celebrate the holy feast of Christ's body and blood. Strengthen every member of your church in love, faith, and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we praise you for the beauty and abundance of your creation. Send sunshine and rain to nourish crops. Teach us to produce and distribute food with justice and generosity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you know every nation, every culture, and every people. Teach us to work together for peace and to love each other even when we cannot understand our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you hear the cries of the hungry, the sick, and the downcast. Send food, healing, and comfort to all who are in need. Satisfy the desire of every living thing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we thank and praise you for this congregation. Teach us to be a holy family, Christ's body to and for one another. Unite us in love and faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer up prayers this morning for those in our community that need your loving presence, O God. We remember in our prayers today George and Jerry and Ron and Carol and everyone within and outside of the walls of this church, all those that we know and don't know, all those that are in our hearts and in our heads. And we pray for you now, either out loud or in silence for them. Please be with all, God, who need your help, who need your healing in body, mind, and spirit. Almighty God, we thank and praise you for the beloved dead who taught and fed us in Christian faith. Hasten the feast that will reunite us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please show a sign of that peace with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, sir. Peace be with you, Dennis. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated.